Thank you for listening to this sermon by Destination Church. We make all of our resources available because we hope they have a huge impact on your life and show you how much you matter to Jesus and to our church. If your life has been impacted through our ministry, we encourage you to share your story with us by sending an email to hello@destinationchurch.cc. We hope you enjoy the sermon.
I want to share some exciting news with you this morning before we get started. On Tuesday, we're going to have our Christmas Eve service, and we believe that God is going to change people's lives permanently that night. We believe that the best Christmas present that Jesus could get is people coming to know him and being saved. And so we are expecting 300 people to show up that night between here and between our kids' services on Tuesday night. We're expecting 300 people to show up, and here's why. Because God's going to tithe 10% back to salvation. We believe that 30 people between our service and between the kids' service are going to be saved that night. They're going to make the walk from death to life, and they're going to give their life to Christ for the very first time. And that night, we are going to be taking up a special offering. Now, the reason I wanted to bring it to you is I wanted to share with you why we're taking up a special offering that night. It is a Christmas offering, and churches take up offerings at Christmas time. But the offering that we're taking up there this year at our Christmas Eve service is going to be very special. I started praying back in September, actually, about this and about what we could do for Christmas. And I started asking God, I just want to do something that is for the people, that's for the community. So what is it that we can do? And so as we were praying about the Christmas offering, this idea of a dream initiative just kept coming back to me. The words dream initiative just started coming up and popping up in my quiet time. And here's why, is there are so many different people. There's so many different school programs, bands, choirs, clubs. There's so many different nonprofits out there that are doing an amazing job reaching people where they're at and helping them in a dramatic way. There are people in the community. There are people in the government and city. There's so many people and different things and organizations in our community that really we as a church would love to give to. I believe that the church should lead by example when it comes to giving. We shouldn't ask you guys to bring your tithe into the storehouse and then the church not give back to helping people as well. Our mission statement here, the thing that matters to us, that drives everything that we do at Destination Church, is we lead people to Jesus by showing them that they matter. And I believe the way that you do that in the community is to give back, and to give back financially. So this dream initiative, this idea that came up was that if we had a fund that we could use all year long in 2015 to give to people that came and needed the church to support them and help them out, that would be a dream come true. Most churches would love to give, but they don't have the finances within their budget to be able to give. So what if our Christmas offering went to nothing more than the church giving it away in 2015? Like if a band from a local high school or a choir, if they come, we've had that need arise before, and they say, hey, we're not going to be able to make it. We're not going to be able to perform. We're not going to be able to help the students this year if people like you don't give, and we would love to give. What if we had a fund set aside that we could take money out and we could give to those needs right there? What if there were some nonprofits? There are some people that are doing some great things in this community at Connecting Henry and Hands on Henry and a number of different places that are helping people right where they're at. What if they came to us and said, hey, could you guys help us out by supporting us financially? What if we had a fund where we could say, yes, we sure can, and we supported them? Destination Church is a church plant, and we're a church plant that is going to plant churches. What if we had church planters that came to us and said, hey, can you support us? And we said, you know what? We're going to support you because we know that people come to salvation more through church plants than they do in any other church across the country. What if all of these things that popped up next year in 2015, we had a fund set aside that was just for the purpose of giving back to the community? That would be a dream come true for me, and I believe it would be obedient. So this year, I've been asking God if we can raise enough money to create the Dream Initiative for 2015. And every penny that is going to be in that fund next year, in the year 2015, will be used by the church to give back to the community and financially, specifically in a financial way. Whenever a need arises, and I'm not talking about benevolence or things that typically pop up in a church. I'm talking about things that the church never has money to give to but would love to. It would be amazing if we could show the community that we are givers at Destination Church and not takers. So I asked God, I was like, God, what is it that we can do? And he said, well, you expect people to walk in here and give of their tithe every single week. Why shouldn't the church lead by example and tithe back to the community 10%? So we totaled up everything that's coming to the storehouse this year. And right at the end of this year, we're going to have brought in right at $60,000 since we launched in September. So I would love if we could raise $6,000 on Christmas Eve Eve, and we could use that money all next year to give back to the community. Wouldn't that be great if we could be a church that gives back, especially in the area of finances, to things that no one is usually able to give to? Instead of sprucing up our stage, listen, we just lost thousands of dollars. You know, three or five times as much as that was in that trailer we just lost a couple of weeks ago. And it would be very easy to say, hey, let's raise money and let's get that equipment back in here. But that's not what God wants us to do. This is his church, and I believe that Jesus is the most generous giver that ever walked the face of the planet. And I believe that if he had it his way, he would want us to raise money on his birthday, celebrating this season. He would want us to raise money that we could give away back to people in the community. Because we can trust him to take care of our needs. Listen, we didn't have our equipment last week, and we had a couple people that came to salvation last week. We don't need no stinking lights to be up for people to come to know Jesus Christ. You know what I'm saying? You can barely see my face right now because I'm in the dark. I feel like I'm at a seance right now, and it's probably a good thing because this is an ugly face. You probably don't need to see this face, okay? But people don't need those things. What they do need is they need a church that is willing to step outside of where their ordinary life is and begin to look at people through the lens of Jesus Christ and say, I want to be a giver, a generous and cheerful giver. So I'm asking you, if you would, between now and Tuesday night, to begin to pray about what God would put on your heart. And the amount doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's $5 or if it's $1,000. Whatever it is, if you'll bring it with a cheerful heart and give it out of obedience and out of the right attitude and the right heart, I believe that God is going to meet the need, and he is going to fund that fund. And all next year, we'll be able to say that Destination Church gave to the people in this community. And because of that, we were able to fulfill our dream and meet people's needs in 2015. Do you guys think that's a great idea? All right. Thank you guys very much. Please pray for please be in prayer about what God would have you to give. My wife and I are praying about what he would have us to give as well. And we believe that it's going to be a great thing that we can use to carry on us through as being a church that gives back to the community in 2015. Well, if you will get out your Bibles and you'll turn in your worship guides, you'll see that we are in a series that we started in February called First Christmas. If you're new here with us today, I want to say thank you so much for being here. We have this environment called the Green Room where I would love for you to come and to meet me and to meet some of our core leaders after church. When you exit the theater right here, you'll see some signs at the conclusion of service, and you can come upstairs and have some refreshments and meet us. We would love for you to come and join us. We're in week number 3 of a series called First Christmas that we've been doing throughout December. And the reason that we've been doing this series is because this is our first Christmas as a church here in the theater that we're celebrating. And so we started talking about what are some memorable first Christmas experiences that a lot of us, or most of us, have experienced or will experience at some point. And what are some lessons that we can learn or take out of those so that we can learn to live a life better in Christ Jesus. And so we've picked out 3 memorable experiences. Week number 1, I talked about our first Christmas as a married couple. As soon as you get married and you had your very first Christmas, and we talked about don't make the memory more important than the moment. And James did a great job last week of talking about a first Christmas in a new house and the lesson that we can learn from there. And so today I want to talk to you about a message that is entitled No Little Wah Wah Club. Yes, I will explain what that means in just 1 minute. If you'll turn to the book of Luke, chapter 2, we're going to be reading in verses 4 through 20 this morning. I'm going to be reading out of the English Standard Version, the ESV. And while you're turning there, I want to ask you to focus your attention on the screen after you get there. And I want you to watch this video clip that's coming up right now. All right. Missed one cuss word there at the end, too. Yeah, that was great. My editing skills are not. Well, the reason that we're doing a message entitled No Little Wah Wah Club is today we want to emphasize the very first Christmas that you have with a newborn child. And what comes, all the challenges that come with that. Now, the reason I showed that this clip today is because it is my favorite part of that movie. I love when he prays to the newborn Christmas Jesus. That's just a classic thing. But also because I wanted to show you that they were praying to the Christmas Jesus. Like he said, not the teenage Jesus or the bearded Jesus, but the baby Jesus. When we celebrate Christmas, we know that as Christ's birthday or celebrating the birth of Christ. And so they were talking to the baby Jesus, but in that clip, if you'll notice, they were focused solely on them and what they wanted and what they were asking for and what was going on. And unintentionally, they missed the same thing that you and I can miss if we're not careful, and that is this. They missed the reason for Christmas. They missed the change that the child represents at Christmas. They missed what Christ's birth represents during this time. And my wife and I, when we celebrated our first Christmas with our new child, my first child was our daughter Brooke, and when we brought her home, she was born on November the 12th, so Christmas was just right after that. And I remember that when we brought her home and we knew that we were going to have Christmas, it was on. That was it. We wanted everything to be great, to be special. We had to have the perfect tree. We had to have all of the decorations inside and out. I had to have decorations all over the yard, up in the trees, all across the patio. We had to have them on the back porch that no one sees at all. The birds had Christmas lights out in the back because they were the only ones that saw the decorations we put out there. How many of you guys put decorations like on the side of your house or in the back that no one sees? See? I'm the only crazy person that does that, right? And the same thing on the inside. Like Pastor James was saying last week, we have 7 trees in our house. We have trees in the bathroom and Star Wars trees and Coca-Cola trees and big trees and little trees. And that's just the trees that we have in the house that are decorated. We went all out. And the reason that we did that is we wanted to set the tone for our family. We wanted to start traditions in our family that we're going to carry on through the rest of our children's life. And so we did the whole shebang, milk and cookies, letters to Santa, and we say the Christmas stories on that night, on Christmas Eve, and sing the carols. And okay, so I don't sing the carols, but we sing the carols, and we do all of the things that you're supposed to do. I mean, we watch Christmas movies leading up to Christmas every year, and then we always have to watch Elf. How many of you guys watch Elf every year before Christmas, right? How many of you guys, as soon as you watch Elf, you start cutting paper snowflakes out, and you start hanging them up over the house? We do that at my house. We do that all the time. And the reason was is we wanted our kids' Christmas to be special. We wanted them to know that we celebrate the Christmas season. And unintentionally, what happened for us in my case was is we unintentionally didn't realize that we were so busy chasing after making Christmas special for our children that we forgot to pay attention to the fact that our child being with us at Christmas is what made Christmas special. You see, once she was born and we celebrated Christmas and we did all of those things and we got to Christmas, we soon found out that having a child with us at Christmas is what made it special. Because having children changes everything, right? How many, if you're a parent and you have a child, you know today that when you have children, life as you know it is over with. And that's what we learned. We realized that life as we knew it was done. That it was a child brought change. Good, bad, and ugly, it brought change. The child brought change, and she would forever change the way that we would do life, the way that we would look at life, and the way that we would live our lives. And so today, I wanted to talk to you about those changes because I believe that just like a celebrating Christmas for the first time with a newborn, with a child, just like you become aware of all the changes that happen there, I believe that when you celebrate a changed life in Christ, when we recognize what the child represents, the Christ child, Christ's birth, when we recognize what it represents, we really do discover what Christmas is all about. So if you look on your outline with me in the book of Luke chapter 2 and verses 4 and 5, I'm going to read just verses 4 and 5 out of the English Standard Version this morning. And we're going to look at what happened that first Christmas thousands of years ago. And it starts off in verse 4 and says, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed." That means he was supposed to be married to her. And then this is how verse 5 ends, "who was with child." Now, the message that I want to share with you today, the main point, if you don't get anything else out of the message today, I want you to get this right here, and it's on your outline, your worship guide, and on the screen behind me. The Christmas story is about the change that the child represents. The Christmas story is about the change that the child represents. You see, Mary and Joseph, they were to be married and they were to live life together, but unexpectedly, she became pregnant with child. And it wasn't Joseph's child, it was an immaculate conception. And so he got called, they both got called for a census to go to their hometown, which was Bethlehem, and it was 90 miles away from where they were at. And so they had to walk there, and this journey was going to take them literally weeks to go there. And as they set out on this journey in verses 4 and 5, and they start to walk and start to go, now that she's pregnant, and she's like 7 months pregnant, like she's getting ready, 7 or 8 months pregnant, she's getting close, she's getting ready to pop. All of a sudden, as they're going on their journey, they begin to realize the differences and the changes that this child brings. And I believe today, if you and I can take a look at these changes that the child represents, not only in our life, but in the life of Joseph and Mary, Moses was a long time before this, we will be able to see today the change that Christ can bring within us. Now, as soon as they left in verse 5, and it says that she was with child, they take off and go to Bethlehem, all right? Now, I imagine if it takes weeks to get there and she's barefoot and pregnant, okay, maybe she wasn't barefoot, but I imagine if they're with weeks to get there, I imagine that somewhere along the way as they're stopping, she begins to notice, hey, this isn't any ordinary trip, right? How many of you guys have are married and you have children and you've taken a trip before, just you and your spouse, and then you had kids and you tried to do the same trip without them and it was completely different? I mean, with them this time and it was completely different. Anybody done that before? Yeah, my wife and I, we did the Disney trip, right? Has anybody ever been to Disney when it's just you and your spouse? Anybody ever done that before? Or single people? Disney's so fun. It's great. You get to ride all the rides and everything's so great. That's not what happens when you take your kids, right? Right? Like, when you take your kids, you wish for death to happen by the time you get to the end of the week, right? Now, you're all happy and smiles, and you make sure you do everything. When we took our kids the first time, when the park opened, we were there, like in Christmas vacation, like in vacation, when they were waiting for the park to open, and we're there waiting on the park to open, and then at 9 o'clock in the morning, and then we stay until midnight every single night, because we're going to get the trip of our life in, and the kids are going to have fun if it kills us, right? And that is exactly what we did. And by the end of the week, the kids are like, "I hate Disney. Can we just go home, please? I'm so tired." Right? And we're like, "No, we're here in the happiest place on earth, and you're going to have a great time if it kills us." Because when you have children, everything changes. And I imagine that's exactly what happened with Mary and with Joseph. And then to boot that, as they come into Bethlehem and they get there, there's no room in any hotel around for them to stay in, right? I mean, like Priceline.com, Kayak, nobody's got any last-minute deals that they can pick up. So they have to stay in a barn or a stable with animals. And so then it says, the Bible says that she gave birth to the child. And when she gave birth to the child, that she had to wrap him up in strips of cloth that they found inside the stable. And that she had to take these cloth, she had to take him wrapped up in these strips of cloth and put him inside this manger. And a manger is just like a dirty feeding trough that was inside the stable, and had to put him in there. And so the Savior of the universe, the creator of all life, who loves you and I more than anything else and came to die for you and I, this is how he made his entrance into the world. And the Bible says that an angel of the Lord came to these shepherds, and that they were tending their flocks at night. And it came, the angel came to the shepherds and said, hey, don't be afraid, don't fret. I know like I'm shining like bigger than anything you've ever seen on Terminator or Alien, but don't be afraid, because I bring you some great news today. The Savior of the universe was born in the town of Bethlehem. The Bible says that they took everything they had, chunked it down, and they took off to Bethlehem to go see this miraculous thing that had taken place. And as they did, they started to share the news with everybody. And so in that story today, I want to share with you three changes that happened with Mary and Joseph and the child that was born that day, and three changes that happened with my wife and I when we had our first child, and the changes that the child represents, at least in my life. And I believe that as I show you these changes that the Christmas story represents, I believe that Jesus is going to show you changes that he can make in your life as well. So if you'll look with me today on your outline, I want to take a look at three changes that a child represents. Now I want you to know today that if you don't have children today, that these still apply to you. Saved or unsaved, single, married, children, no children, all of the things that we're going to talk about right now, they apply to every one of us today, because Jesus can change any of us right where we're at. So look on your outline with me. The first thing, change that a child represents, is this: change in how we do life. My wife and I, before we had our first daughter, Brooke, my wife and I, we were friends with a couple of other couples that was in the church. We had just started going to church. We got married, and because we got married, because the pastor of the church performed the wedding ceremony, he said, if you'll come to church one Sunday, then I won't charge you anything. And so we came and started going, and we've been going ever since. And so we got connected into the church because we have formed relationships with two or three couples that was in the church. And all of us were recently married and didn't have any children, okay? And so we formed what we called, between the six of us, the No Little Wah-Wah Club. Nobody in this group had any little wah-wahs whatsoever, okay? And I remember life was great. For the first 3 years of our marriage, we were in the No Little Wah-Wah Club. And in the No Little Wah-Wah Club, when you want to travel with your grandparents, you can just pick up and take off. And you can go to Paris or London, or you can go to Puerto Rico. If you want to take up a hobby like scuba diving, you can do that and go diving in Panama City or in Puerto Rico or Key West. Great things like that. If you are athletic and you want to play on a softball team or volleyball, you can do that. My wife, she loved to do scrapbooking, and she could do that. And when we had our child, not only did we get booted out of the No Little Wah-Wah Club, but all of those things disappeared. The way that we did life suddenly changed dramatically and drastically. We had so many different things that we had to give up, so many different people and friends that we had to give up. And the same thing happened with Mary and them in the Christmas story when Jesus was born. If you'll look with me on your outline at verses 6 and 7, it says, and while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Right then and there, they realized, I believe that they became aware, oh, this has changed the way that we do life. I imagine that she had went on treks before, and she traveled before, because they had to walk everywhere that they went in those days and in their times. And I believe that now that she's had the child and she's give birth to a child, she's realized, just like my wife and I realized when our daughter was born and we brought her home, life as we know it is going to be different from now on. We can't do all of those things. We can't pick up and go scuba diving. We can't travel. We can't play on teams. We can't scrapbook and hobbies. And I can't Star Wars collect anymore. Man, that one hurt more than any of the other ones. That one hurt. I make no bones about it. I'm a Star Wars nerd, but I was actually a collector back in the day, and now I had to give that hobby up too, because how we do life is different when a child comes into the mix. And that was something that we had to become aware of. We had to become aware of the same thing that Joseph and Mary did, that life is never going to be the way that it used to be, that there's no turning back. And for a lot of us, if we would realize this truth when it comes to our relationship with Christ, that the child was born at Christmas so that he could bring change in your life. And when you allow him to come into your life and come into your heart, and you allow him to change you and make you better, we have to become aware that there's no going back to the old life. I know, because I tried. Because I am not perfect. I'm a flawed creature. All of us in this room are flawed creatures. We're not perfect. And all of us, we try to go back to our natural tendencies. And that's what I did. I tried to go back to my old life. And it didn't mean the same thing. I didn't have the same enjoyment and the same fulfillment from it because of the conviction of the change that Jesus brought into my life. How you do life is different now. And so today I want you to know that our core value here at Destination Church that we have is growing matters. Because we're not perfect, because we mess up, because we don't live life in a perfect way, we have to grow into the person that God created us and intended us to be. Growing matters because growing people change. And you can't live a life in Christ and not change. How many of you guys know someone that claims that they changed their life, claims that Jesus changed their life, and you don't see any evidence of them changing at all? They still act the same. They still say the same cuss words, still tell the same dirty jokes, still do the same stupid things, right? Still have road rage, right? They still do all of those things, and yet they claim that Jesus has changed their life. Listen. Growing people change, and when people change in Christ, the evidence is clear. You will be able to see in their life that a change has taken place, and the same thing goes for you as well. That's why growing matters, because when you grow in Christ, he changes you. The second thing that a child represents is this: change in our values. Change in our values. The Bible says in Luke 2 and 15 and 16, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, the Bible says in verse 16. In other words, they didn't stop and get someone to make sure that all of their sheep or all of their flocks were taken care of, right? No, they just threw their staff down, they grabbed whatever they could, and they took off going to Bethlehem so that they could see what happened. And it goes on to say, with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. I want you to know that the shepherds lived in an agrarian society. Everything that made up their life, everything that they valued and that was important to them was in their flocks. So you don't just up and take off and throw everything down and leave for just any old thing, right? Like everything that was priority was right there. And yet the moment they heard this news, it changed what they valued. It changed what was a priority to them. And the same thing happened to my wife and I when we had a child. When Brooke came into our life, all of a sudden, and even further on when our son TJ was born, all of a sudden we realized that the things that we value had to change. That the friends that we used to party with, we couldn't party with anymore. The habits and the routines that we have, we couldn't hold on to anymore. And I'm not saying that we changed completely. I'm not saying that we never went and did those things again, because no one is perfect. What I am saying to you is, though, is that we realized that our priorities and the things that mattered to us had to change. Some of you in here, you've got a family, you've got kids, and there are things in your life that need to change. Some of you have got friends that you party with that you probably don't need to have relationships with anymore. Some of you have got habits and routines that you won't let go of that you need to break away from. That change needs to happen. And until the values in your life change, which is what the birth of Christ represents, until that changes, you're never going to experience what a changed life in Christ actually looks like. Now listen, the reason I'm telling you all this is because the main point of the message today is that the Christmas story represents, let me look this up and make sure I'm going to say it wrong. The Christmas story is about the change that the child represents. Now, the reason I want to point that out and the reason I want you to hear me today on this is because at Destination Church, we really do believe that living a life in Christ is the best way to live life. And if you don't allow him to change you, if you don't fight tooth and nail to go after the changes that he wants in your life, you're never going to experience life in the way that he meant for you to live, in a way that he meant for you to be able to experience life. The third thing on your outline, the third change that a child represents is this, a change in our values, a change in how we loved. Boy, I'm just on it today, ain't I? A change in how we loved. Not only did it change how we lived life, how we did life, not only did it change the things that we valued and the things that were priorities, but it changed the way that we loved. Now, I'm not saying that I loved my kids more than I loved anybody else in life, but I'm saying that I loved my kids in a different way. I experienced a new way to love someone, a way that you can only know when you have a child. And when the child of Christ, when the birth of Christ at Christmas time, when it represents the change in your life that you're looking for, you will experience life in a way that you have never experienced at all. And it will bring a fulfillment, and it will bring something to you that you have never experienced before, and you will realize that life can be so much better than you thought that it could be. For us, we discovered as parents that loving our child in the way that we love our child meant giving to our child. It meant giving our attitude, giving our grace, giving our forgiveness, learning to give things that we never thought we could give before, like when my son was 3 and he decided that he was going to take a black permanent Sharpie marker and he was going to use the blank canvas of our red sofa and love seat to paint on, we have to give him grace because we love him when you walk in the door and find out that he did squiggly art all across the whole couch with that permanent Sharpie, right? Like, not only did he Sharpie on the cushion, thank you very much. Sorry, I was struggling for that. Not only did he Sharpie on the cushion, but he Sharpied on the sides. He Sharpied on the arm. He made sure he got the little covers that go, the pillows, the back, everything. And then he went over here to the chair, and he's like, oh, look, there's nothing on this one. Let me do this one as well. And he scribbled all on that one there. And then he found the love seat, and he went to the love seat, and he scribbled on that one there. And we realized that those really are permanent markers. Right? Like, you pray for the marker to fade because you've done everything that you can to get it off, right? And my daughter's no different. I remember how we felt about her and that we still loved her when her and her cousin decided they were going to take fingernail polish and paint the entire back wall of her closet. Like, not just a little piece of it, but from the top to the bottom with fingernail polish. It smelled so good. Right? That... These are moments that happen. When these things happen right here, this is when you realize, you know what? I really have experienced loving in a different way. Because even though I would like to kill my children right now for what they did, I still love them, and this doesn't change how I feel about them any way whatsoever. We learned a new way to love. It changed the way that we learned to love. We discovered that you love your kids in a way that you give to them no matter what, that you sacrifice for them, that you give of your time to them. And it changes the way that you feel about yourself. I remember the first time that Brooke wanted to go to an anime conference, and these are conferences like Dragon Con or MomoCon, where these guys, they role play and they dress up like the characters. It's an anime, and they go and they have these cons that they go to and do all of these things. And I remember the first time that she wanted to go to one with people that we barely knew. Some people that she knew but we hadn't met, and it was going to be in downtown Atlanta. And I remember when she asked, we were like, absolutely not. You are not going to this thing. And she's like, but it's all right. I know these people. I don't care. When the sun turns dark and the moon turns to blood, then come talk to me. Until then, you're not going. And I remember having the moment where I had to say, okay, if I want my child to be trustworthy, then I've got to learn to trust her. And it's a risk. And so we decided to make the decision to let her go. And we did all the safeguards. We met people and talked to people, and we came up with a plan and made sure that everything was on the level and was safe. But I still remember the first time she went, I remember experiencing what my parents felt like. Because I remember when I was her age and I wanted to go to the Metallica concert or the Motley Crue concert. And I remember I just wanted to go and be with my friends and do my thing. And I wanted to be independent. And I wanted everybody to know that I was grown and that I could do my thing and I was going to go have fun on my own. And I really wasn't concerned with what my parents thought about. But I remember in that moment, that burden that I carried, that overwhelming sense of her safety and her security, and how much it meant to me, and how much I was scared that she wasn't going to be safe, and that I was taking a risk on her safety and her security. And I remember, this must be the way my parents felt. No wonder they didn't want me to go to the Metallica concert. I just thought it was because they thought I was going to smoke a lot of weed. Right? Because that's what you do at a Metallica concert. You smoke a lot. It was the unknown. It was them not knowing what's going on. And you're at that age, I was so focused on what I wanted that I wasn't focused on what they were experiencing. And that was because I had never had a child. And I didn't realize the change that the child represented. And in that moment, I began to realize that if I feel this way, how much more does Jesus feel this way with you and I? You see, all of us are his children. Every one of us that's ever been created, that's ever been born, Jesus has that feeling about you. He takes a risk on you coming to meet him and know him so that you can live in eternity with him. And every time you don't, every time he can't catch your attention, every time he can't convince you that you need to make the change in your life that you need to make, that you need to have different values and priorities, that you need to live life a different way, that you need to learn to love in a different way because it's going to change who you are and the way you experience life. Every time that he comes to us with that burden and that overwhelming sense of, I've got to get them to understand. You see, he loves us. He loves us just like a parent loves their child. And when you were created and you were born, it changed everything. And Jesus wants to bring change into your life so that you can experience life on the best level. So that you can experience living life the best way. And the reason is because he wants the same for you that parents want for their kids. He wants you to turn out the best way you possibly can. I remember thinking to myself when my daughter was born and we brought her home, I remember thinking, you know, not only am I responsible to take care of her and physically and provide her with things, but I'm responsible for her spiritual well-being. Like how I'm living my life and how I'm living under grace and being forgiven by Jesus and showing that in my life each and every day and making up for my mistakes and confessing my failures and moving forward in Christ and letting her see that we don't live in a black and white world, that we live in a world that is under grace because you have a Savior that loves you so much, that loves you like a parent loves their child, and he wants you to live a changed life because it is the best way to live life. If you don't get anything else I say today, I want you to get the main point. Jesus came, the Christmas story, he was born this Christmas story is about the change that his birth represented. And we celebrate baby Jesus, not teenage Jesus or bearded Jesus or anything like that. We celebrate that at Christmas because it was great news. It brought about the ability for you and I to change our life and to begin to live life in a totally different way. So I'm going to ask Kevin to come, and I'm going to ask him to get ready to play. And I want to ask you today, just like I learned these lessons and just like I became aware of all these changes that were in our life, I want to ask you today that as Jesus came during the Christmas season, as he came in Luke chapter 2 in the town of Bethlehem, and he was born into the world so that we had a Savior who was willing to give up his life for you and I, and we could see the change that needs to take place in our own life. I want to ask you today, will you allow him to change you? Will you allow him to change the way that you do life? You see, a lot of us, we can claim that we're a follower of Christ. We can claim that we know him and that we're Christians. But if the change is not showing up in your life, then it's not happening. And you can try to lie to yourself and convince yourself that it is, that I'm good and that I'm going. But I want you to know that the Bible is very clear. It's not about being a Christian because it's the popular thing to do or because other people have done it or because it's a one-time event that you have in your life. It's a daily walk with Christ that brings about a slow but steady change, a transformation that happens through a transition. That means each and every day you choose to live life differently. You choose to allow him to show you a new set of values and a new set of priorities. You choose to ask him to forgive you and change you and make you new so that you can learn how to love in a different way. That's what Christmas is all about. It's about the change that he represents in your life and mine. And we can have all the traditions, and we can celebrate the first Noel, and we can sing Joy to the World, and we can talk about how Jesus was the Savior that was born at Christmas, and we can sing Happy Birthday to Jesus, and we can celebrate Christmas, and we can do all of those things. But for him, the greatest thing that you can do, the greatest gift that you can give him this Christmas season, is you can allow him to change you in the way that he came to change you for. You can fulfill the reason for his birth, and you can allow him to invade your heart and to invade your life and to change you. And it doesn't matter if there's 1,000 people sitting in this room or if there's one person besides you sitting in this room. Jesus is here. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need anyone else's permission to be here and to be available. But he does need you to desire him and to want him to bring the change in your life that you are beginning to see or have seen or know in your heart that you need to see. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to pray today. And I want you to pray with me. And I want you to pray that this Christmas season, today, why wait until Christmas Eve? Why wait until Christmas? Why wait any longer? Today, you can allow him to change you. The reason that he came to this earth, the reason that he was born, and we celebrate this Christmas season, you can allow him to change you today in the way that you do life and the way that you learn to love. And all you have to do is ask him into your heart. So we're going to pray, and as we do, you don't need me. You can talk to your Savior just like I can. You're a human being just like I am. You're a sinner just like me who needs his grace and needs his forgiveness. You can talk to him and say, Jesus, I know that you were born a Savior, that you are the Son of God, and that you can change my life, and all I have to do is submit my will to you and ask you to come into my life and change my heart. And so we're going to pray right now, and as we do, if you pray that prayer, I want you to know that it's that simple and it's that significant that he can change your life forever, and all you have to do is want him to do it. Let's pray. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody looking around. Dear Jesus, today I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the change that your birth represents. I thank you, Lord, for the change in our life that the birth of the baby Jesus, that your birth represents in us today. And today, God, I have done the best job that I can, Lord, to represent you. But today, now it's your turn. Now, Jesus, today, as we are praying and these people are praying here today, God, some of them today, they have not seen a change in their life, and it's because they haven't allowed the changes that your birth represents to take place. So today, help them today to see that you died for their sins. Lord, that you are the Son of God and that all they have to do is confess their state of life to you, confess their sins to you and ask you to cleanse them and forgive them and to make them a new creation today. And Lord, all they have to do is submit their will to you, admit that they need you, acknowledge you as their Savior and accept you as their King and as their Lord. And today, God, if they're doing that, and if they've prayed that prayer, and they're doing that right now, then, Lord, we know and believe in our heart that they have accepted you into their life and that you've changed them and that they have made the walk from death to life today and are a new creation in you. With every head bowed and every eye closed and nobody looking around, if that's you today and you made that decision, I want you to be courageous enough to simply hold up your hand and say, Pastor Ricky, I made that decision today for the very first time. I asked Jesus into my heart. Is there anyone in the room? Is there anyone that made that decision again today? You recommitted your life today. Is there anyone in the room that recommitted their life to living a life that is changed in Jesus Christ? That is evident. People will be able to see the change because I'm going to change the way I do life. I'm going to change my values. If that's you today, I want you to slip up your hand. Is there anyone in here today during this Christmas season that you need Jesus to bring about change in your life? You've got friends that you need to friendships that you need to change. You've got habits and you've got routines that you need to change and you need to grow and you need someone to pray for you and pray that you will allow those changes to take place. If that's you today, if you'll slip up your hand, anyone in here, put it right back down. Put it right back down. Anyone else? Anyone else? Put it right back down. We have some people here from our care and prayer team. These guys, they show up every week. And the sole purpose of them coming here, the reason that they come is so that they can be here for you, to pray with you and to care for you. If there's anyone now that would like to go with these guys, you can just get up and exit to your right. These guys are waiting right here with you. They would love to go out and talk with you and pray with you and help you. Is there anyone in here that would like to go for prayer this morning? Anyone in here? Heavenly Father, today we thank you so much. We thank you for this Christmas season. We thank you for all that it represents. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for your birth and the greatest news that we've ever heard, that the world has ever heard, Lord, is the change that your birth has brought about. We love you and we honor you, and it's in your name that we pray and ask all these things. And everyone said, amen. Guys, thank you so much for being here. James is going to come up and dismiss you. I hope you guys have a great Christmas season and have a great day. Be safe going home. I love you.